This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
Will you be ready when Jesus comes? Now, let me ask you a question. How many are excited about the return of the Lord? I mean, really excited about the return of the Lord, huh? What is your expectation? When we talk about the return of the Lord, sometimes we really don't understand what it is that we're saying. Because see, when Jesus left, he had submitted himself unto death, the death of the cross. The enemy thought he had won a victory, but on the third day, he rose from the grave. And the Bible said that he rose from the grave with all power in his hands. Not some power, but all power in his hands. But it wasn't then that Jesus began to initiate his kingdom. Because the disciples came to him and said, Lord, would thou at this time restore Israel back to his glory? Will you reestablish the kingdom of God at this time? And they showed him all of the building, all of the temple and all of the beautiful stones on the temple. Jesus said, listen, I tell you, there's not one stone that is stacked upon another that shall not be thrown down. He said, listen, before things get established, some things are going to have to be torn down. There's some things going to have to be torn down in your life. Some things going to have to be torn down and rebuilt upon the foundation of Christ. Not on foundation of self-righteousness, not on the foundation of works, but on the foundation of the finished work of Calvary. And see, they were not established on that. See, the temple was not established on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so that temple had to be dismantled. And not just talking about the physical temple, but we're talking about the dismantling of your thinking or the way that you perceive Christ. Now, we're talking about will you be ready when Jesus comes? That it means there has to be a state of preparation in order to get ready. Because if we really look at the day of the Lord, it is not something that you want to be on the wrong side of the fence when he comes. It's not a place where you want to be standing in the valley of decision, trying to make up your mind, vacillating between two opinions. If God is God or if the world is God, or you're trying to straddle the fence and say you're a Christian, but yet you live contrary. For a moment, I just want to take a minute to talk to you about the word Christian. How many call yourself Christians? Huh? Now, it's funny because a Christian is never to call himself a Christian. See, they were first called Christians at Antioch because others observed them and saw their behavior was Christ-like. And from somebody else's observance, they said, that's a Christian. But sometimes we call ourselves things that we don't live up to. That others will look at us from a distance and say, that's a Christian. Others will see our behavior. We see how we behave one toward another, how we treat each other. And they say, like a country boy looking at a streetcar, that's a Christian. Is that how I'm supposed to act? Is that how I'm supposed to treat my neighbor? So we're not called ourselves Christians. We call ourselves saints. Because the Bible said that you are the saints of the Most High God. And see, the word Christian, in a sense, means that your behavior is in line with the behavior of Christ. It's not just a title that you wear to distinguish yourself as a religious organization. Because as a religious organization, Christianity has had a pretty, raw deal going on out there. Through the Crusades, through people trying to force Christianity on people, through hypocrisy, a lot of biasness and separation under the banner of Christianity, because we have made it a religion instead of a relationship. And the moment we have made it a religion, we distinguished ourselves even from ourselves. Paul had to go into this point, says, one say I'm of Cephas, another say I'm of Paul, one say I'm of Apollos. He said, is Christ divided? Huh? So why is it that we have to divide ourselves and make distinctions based on our denominationalism that brings division within the body of Christ and separation and dissension? Because in order for me to have my denomination, I must exalt myself over yours. Because there's got to be something better about mine in order for me to be in it. And so therefore, I got to find something that's wrong with yours. Because you're a Baptist, I'm Pentecostal. Well, I'm Methodist. Well, I'm Presbyterian. And all of us have our little things that we gravitate to that makes us comfortable, to make us think that this is where we belong, when Christ is not divided, but there's one body. And for you to be called a Christian, it's going to take the world to observe your behavior from a distance and see that there is no division. There is no separation. There is no spiritual prejudiceness among one another. So we have to bring into the body of Christ a unity of the faith. We have to be coming in into the bonds of peace. We have to come together on one common cord that we can all agree on, and that is that Jesus is Lord of all. And there's a lot of things that we may not agree on doctrinally because of our quirks, but, they had a team that was a ping pong team from China. They were the most winningest team that was out there. And somebody asked them, said, how is it that you're able to win so often so many matches? They say, because we don't focus on our weaknesses, but we focus on our strengths. And we practice our strengths. We don't accentuate our weaknesses. And so let's find our strength so that we as the body of Christ, the saints of the Most High God, can come together on one accord and be in agreement and really get ourselves ready for when Jesus comes. One of the things the Lord asked, he said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, let's look at some of the things, and I just want to see what the coming of the Lord might look like, because a lot of y'all say you're ready for the coming of the Lord, but have you really seen what the day of the Lord looks like? The day of the Lord is not pretty. The day of the Lord is not going to be bells and whistles and flowers and rainbows. That's not what it's going to be. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1, it says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather together all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses raffled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth in their captivity, and the residue of the people shall be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north and half before the south, and ye shall flee as you fled to the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azel, and ye shall flee like you fled before the earthquake in the day of Uriah the king. And the Lord my God shall come, and all of the saints with thee. He didn't say he's bringing all of the Christians, but he said he's going to bring all the saints. See, Christian, for you to call yourself, I'm just trying to make a distinction. For you to call yourself a Christian may not be accurate. Because like I say, Christianity is something that has to be observed by others when they see your behavior as Christ. But to be self-proclaiming a Christian and you not living up to the behavior may not quite be accurate, because a lot of times we join organizations and we say, I'm of the Christian faith. And to a certain point, that is true to a certain point. But your behavior will distinguish who you really are. He said, I'm going to bring all the saints with thee of Judah. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, it said, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. It shall burn as an oven. And all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. For the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. It shall leave neither root nor branch. But unto them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth, and ye shall grow up as a calf in a stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under your feet. In that day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command him in Horeb and all of Israel with the statutes and the judgment. He said, behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the father, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. He said, the day of the Lord is going to come and it's going to burn as an oven. He said, but before I send my judgment, I'm going to send the spirit of Elijah. And it's going to bring unity back into my people. It's going to turn hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the hearts of the children back unto the father. And in essence, it's going to turn our hearts back to our father, our heavenly father. See, we're too church focused and not God focused. See, we think that all we got to do is show up on Sunday and everything will be okay. But it's not about you showing up on Sunday. It's about a lifestyle throughout every day of the week and every moment that you have in your relationship with your Heavenly Father. That's what it's about. It's not about just you showing up on a Sunday morning and say, I fulfilled my religious obligation, but now I'm going to go on and get on with the rest of my life. No, it's turning your heart back unto God. See, when your heart is turned unto your Father, and Jesus said, listen, I only do those things that are pleasing unto my Father. Then your heart will be turned saying, listen, Lord, I understand that, you know, I may be able to do a lot of things, and I may even have legislation that says I have a right to do a lot of things, but I know that everything that I do is not right. So therefore, I need to get some things in order to where I only want to do those things that's going to be pleasing to you. That means I'm not afraid to go to my brother when I offend him and say, listen, I messed up. I made a mistake. Because I want to get things right. And see, as a father, personally, one of the things that grieves my heart and my heart of my wife the most is when our children squabble with one another. As any parent. And when we have to sit back and we see this kind of division and we see all this, and it's over nothing. But the stuff comes. Now, this one ain't talking to that one, and that one ain't talking to this one. And now we got this schism and that schism. And, you know, there's always one trying to make peace and always one that's trying to cause trouble. And, you know, they popcorn. We don't know which one it is. But, you know, stuff arises. But there's times when there's harmony. There's time when everybody's laughing together. There's time when everybody's getting along. I remember them times, like on Thanksgiving and Christmas, when I sit back and I look at all of my children around, and everybody has their plate prepared, and everybody's laughing and everybody's enjoying one another. And I look at my wife and I said, this is what it's all about. This is what makes us happy. So God's no different. The spirit of Elijah is coming to bring all the schisms to an end in his family. To bring that common ground to where we all can agree on. Not about our denominationalism, not about our color, not about our stature, not about our finances, but about Jesus. Preparing the people for the return of the Lord is preparing the hearts to be returned back unto the Father. Oh, in Joel chapter 2, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand. It's a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spreads upon the mountain. A great people and a strong, they have never been the like, neither shall there be any more, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before him, and behind him a flame burneth. The land is a garden of Eden before them, but behind them is desolate wilderness, and nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses and horsemen. So shall they run. Like the noise of a chariot on the top of the mountains, they shall leap like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, or strong people set in battle array. Before their faces, the people shall be in much pain. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the walls like men of war. And they shall march, everyone in his way. And not one shall break their rank. Neither shall one thrust another. And they shall walk, everyone on his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. God's going to utter his voice before his army. The day of the Lord cometh. And when he comes, he's coming to take over. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's not going to be a day of peace. There's not going to be a big celebration. You're not going to see a ticker tape parade. It's not going to be people talking about Hosanna, Hosanna when he comes this time. Because all nations are going to gather themselves together in the Valley of Jehoshaphat or the Valley of Decision. And they're going to gather together and they're going to try to fight against the Lord and his army. All the nations of this world reject the return of the King. Every movie you ever seen about something going on in outer space is something evil from coming out there to coming down here. No, God is not evil. God is coming to set up his kingdom here on earth. And listen, if the world ever got a hold of the message that we preach, that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, if they ever get a hold of the message that Jesus is coming to take over, to set up his kingdom, and he's going to subdue all of these kingdoms that are before them, if they ever get a hold of this message, then you're going to be arrested. You're going to be persecuted. Because the world itself and the governments of this world are diametrically opposed to the return of the Lord. We tell people about Jesus. We tell them about how he died on the cross and rose again. But he also said when you take communion, not only do you show the Lord's death, but you show it until he comes. And regardless of how you feel about it, the coming of the Lord is at hand. You got your bulletin in front of you? Open up your bulletin. We do have scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3. I just pour mine out. 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, know this first, knowing this first, verse 3, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation until now. You talk about the return of the Lord, they think that you're talking some mythical, some fairy tale, something that, and every time I listen, folks have been talking about Jesus is going to come ever since my grandmama died. They used to talk about this back in the day. Jesus, if Jesus was coming, how come he's not here? All this Jesus is coming. You know something? You know what man is striving to do? He is striving to be the God of his own destiny. He's trying to get rid of God out of everything that is called God or that is worship. And so that he, that as God, will be God unto himself. There are some things that are going on right now that are so dark that evil is about to burst on the scene. But those that know their God are going to be strong and going to do exploits. You know, I read in the book of Revelation that there is an angel that came down that had the key to the bottomless pit. And when he opened up the pit, there came up a great smoke like a furnace out of the pit. And there came up out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And these locusts had teeth like a lion. They had hair like a woman. They had the face of a man. They had breastplates of iron and of Jason. And they had tails like scorpions. And with those tails, they hurt men
for 5 months.
They tormented them with their tail. And they had a leader over them. And the name of the leader was Abaddon. But he has his name in the Greek, Apollyon, which means destroyer. But what I'm saying is man is definitely moving toward a way to try to usher in a time of darkness upon the earth. And what it's doing is also attracting God's attention. I believe that the coming of the Lord is soon. How soon? No man knows the day or the hour. How advanced man may get, man may try to push it, but God still has the timetable. But we see the signs. We see things that are developing. And the Bible said that we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. This day is not supposed to come on us unaware as the one who slept in the dark. We're supposed to be able to discern the signs of the times and know that the coming of the Lord is near, even at the door. And the question is, will you be ready when Jesus comes? Because when he comes, his coming is always thought as being imminent. Now, imminent and immediate are not the same thing, but imminent means that it cannot be stopped. It will happen at a certain point in time, and the events that are unfolding are irreversible. It will take place, and the coming of the Lord will happen. It's imminent. It was always kept in that frame of mind. This is why even the disciples back in their day thought the Lord could come at their time. And because Paul and Peter also referred to the coming of the Lord as being at hand or being imminent. And we who are on this side of the year 2000, or, you know, if you look at the six-day theory, which, you know, I put some credibility, maybe, maybe not. But we know that we're in the last times, and we know that we can see that the time is near. Jesus said, listen, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. He said also, but when you see all these things, then look up. And lift up your head because your redemption is drawing nigh. Let's continue with a few more things. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12, this is, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that lifted up, he shall be brought low. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as desolation from the Almighty. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinner thereof out of it. In Jeremiah chapter 46 and 10, he says, For this is the day of the Lord of hosts, the day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and his sword shall devour, and it shall be a statute made and drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts has sacrificed in the north country by the river Euphrates. When Jesus comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the saints of the Most High come back with him. Now, the return of the Lord is in two stages or in two phases. One is called the rapture and one is called the revelation. The one is to remove the believers to be caught up to be with the Lord. And the second phase of the revelation is to come back when the Lord returns. Now, there's some discrepancy, as some people believe mid-trib or pre-trib or whatever the case may be. But what the case does speak is that the Lord will gather his saints and take them to a place that he has prepared. And that those saints will return with him at the time of the revelation. So we have not been appointed to the wrath of God that will be poured out upon this earth. That's not our ticket. But I do want to digress and say it doesn't mean that the church will not suffer some things. I just got a text message this morning how ISIS has taken over another country over in Iraq, another city, I should say, a Christian city, and they're killing and beheading our brothers and sisters even as we speak right now. Even as I speak right now. So pray for them. See, it hasn't come to your house yet. But whatever happens to them happens to us. And so we understand that it's going to come a time that men shall kill you and think that they're doing the will of God. So persecution is going to arise for the word's sake. But that doesn't give you a reason to be fearful. See, when God comes, see, what the enemy does, the most he can do is knock you out of your dirt suit. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have an eternal hope. But there will be those that will not experience death who will be caught up without dying. Matter of fact, in St. John chapter 14, Jesus spoke these words. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "For in my Father's house are many mansions." He said, "If it wasn't true, I wouldn't have told you." He said, "But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." He didn't say frighten one another. He said comfort one another with these words. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, "Brother, I would not have you to be ignorant, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep." It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. But then we," somebody say we, "which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Once again, he says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 and 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." A mystery is something that is hid. It's something that's not revealed. It's something that you had to pull the sheet off. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, or we shall not all die." But he says, "But we shall all be changed." Now, this "all" is not talking about the unbeliever. It's talking about those who are body of who are the body of Christ, or the saints of the Most High God. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, the living, shall be changed. For this corruptible, those that are in the grave, shall put on incorruption." They're going to get their new glorified resurrected body first. "And we, the mortal," or the living, "we're going to be changed into immortality." We're going to be like Jesus. So God has a plan to rescue his body, his bride, his people. But the wrath of God and the destruction of God is poured out on all that would live ungodly.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Hello, this is Joyce Meyer. You know, many people go through their Christian lives miserable, defeated, and depressed. But I want to show you how God's Word has given each of us joy and victory if we just live life in the Spirit. Join me right here every weekday, and let me show you how you can truly start enjoying everyday life in Christ.
Enjoying everyday life with Joyce Meyer at 7:30 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Many men will drink the rain, turn and thank the clouds, yeah. Many men will hear you speak, but they will never turn around. But I will not forget you, are my God, my King. With a thankful heart I bring my offering. My sacrifice is not what you can give, but what I alone can. give to you.